From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. It has been more than 6 months since California's deadliest wildfire devastated the small town of Paradise and killed 85 people. Hundreds of evacuees from that fire fled to neighboring Chico, where the homeless population multiplied as a result. Now, an advocacy organization that has been housing people for a number of years are hoping to build a small village where dozens of homeless folks can resettle. Overcoming multiple obstacles, the Chico Housing Action Team has the official go-ahead from their city council to begin building Simplicity Village. All that's needed is funding. My guest is Bill Kerniski. He is the board president of the Chico Housing Action Team, or CHAT, joined by Gerard Ungerman, a documentary filmmaker who's been following CHAT's efforts. Welcome, Bill and Gerard.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Sonali.
So, Bill, let's start with you. Tell us a little bit about the Chico Housing Action Team and the work that you've been doing on the issue of homelessness even before the Camp Fire in dealing with the existing crisis.
Yes. Once again, thank you so much, Sonali, for putting us up and putting our message out. Chico Housing Action Team started about 6 years ago. We started with something that was called Safe Space. We approached the churches in town and just put people up for the winter. So it was basically a winter shelter. It went from December to February, and at the end of the 3 months, we were housing as many as 70 people per night. This was sort of overflow from the Jesus Center and the tourists, the local shelters here. We took people in wet, so we didn't do drug testing. We had animals, we had families, and we thought this wasn't enough. Just to house people overnight wasn't the answer. So we started master leasing houses in Chico, and we would rent the house, and then we would put people into individual bedrooms. They can afford $500 for the rent, the PG&E, and services, food. We would provide wraparound services. We did what we call weekly touches. We'd make sure people were stabilized. And we have now over 35 houses, and we're housing over 100 people right now.
So then you decided to actually start building the houses yourself instead of renting them out and providing them to homeless folks. And you chose to build specifically tiny houses. Tell us about that.
Correct. So housing now wasn't really producing new housing, and we saw that as a fix, but not as the population. There were over a thousand people that were homeless before the fire, and after the fire, I think Chico added something like 20,000 people, and we just saw this need, and we traveled to Oregon, to Washington, to look at what they were doing, and they had 15 years of experience under their belt, and we felt we could learn from them. And so we toured, we gleaned everything we could, and so we brought it back to Chico and said we could do this. We started looking for property, realized that we couldn't really afford it, since we're a 501c3, we're a nonprofit. We do this just by fundraising, by people sending us money, and we're not really connected to government grants or funds. And so we finally found a piece of property where the owner was willing to lease it for 18 years. And we started with a build-off, what we called a two-day build-off. And we built three houses in 2 days. So basically we did through donations, windows, doors, siding, roof, insulation. And we thought, wow, this is pretty amazing. So if we can build three houses in 2 days, the exterior, the possibilities are endless. And it was $6,500 wow. Per house. So what we did was we decided we were going to do a manufactured home with a cluster of these tiny homes around it, seven or eight homes. The manufactured home would have bathrooms, kitchen, dining, washer and dryer. And the tiny homes were basically insulated, locked sleeping cabins. They'd have electricity. Some had Santa potties like you would have in a sailboat. And it's a 15-foot walk to the manufactured trailer. Hmm. And we're hoping to eventually have 30 to 35 houses and house about 50 seniors is our idea for simplicity one.
Wow. And of course, it was primarily seniors that were impacted in the campfire, given that Paradise was essentially a retirement community. I want to bring Gerard into the conversation. Gerard, you've been documenting CHAT's efforts, CHAT being the Chico Housing Action Team, and noticing some of the challenges that they've faced. You know, anytime people, especially in liberal California, which has a huge problem of homelessness, when people talk about tackling homelessness, in theory, everyone's for it. But when it comes to actually housing homeless people, there start to be turf battles and battles over where those folks should actually live. Can you tell us about what you've observed of CHAT's journey in getting Simplicity Village approved?
Absolutely. One thing also which was very enriching for me, because I care a lot about the topic, was to observe not only what CHAT is doing here in Chico, but also I took a travel with my partner, Stacey Ware, around the Northwest a few months ago, and we visited about six, seven villages that are existing and happening to see how they function. So
there are other villages like this one that already exist and are functioning specifically for this issue?
Absolutely. You know, it seems like Washington State and Oregon have been more proactive and have taken action before California. And so there are some examples. We saw several villages. Eugene has two, Opportunity Village, which is a bit more of a refugee camp almost, and Emerald Village, which is gorgeous. There's one village now in Medford called Hope Village. There's one Portland, of course, which is famous, Dignity Village, which has been there for quite a while now, about 15 years. There's Seattle has a profusion of villages. Some are like little sort of condo, townhouse type deals. Some are actual tiny house villages. So there are many, many examples. And you touched on something just now, which is a very big element in trying to set up these villages, this NIMBY, not in my backyard attitude, but has a lot to do with stereotypes that a lot of people have about, you know, homelessness. The word homeless, first of all, tends to conjure up for many people the idea of people who are a bit crazy, maybe they're on drugs, very dysfunctional, who may disrupt, you know, the peace or something. And in truth, even if, again, there's never smoke without a fire, and you do have, you know, people do have mental issues, it is not the case for most people who happen to have lost everything. And so what you observe, especially in villages which are already existing, and what you observe with what CHAT has been doing, you know, for years, and the houses that they've been using to house two, three, four, five people, is that neighbors don't even know that these houses are there and the occupants were homeless before. Mm. They don't know.
Wow.
You know, you don't have living dead roaming the streets, kidnapping people, eating up little children. You have just people trying to live their life peacefully, decently, and nobody knows about them. And it's even to the point where I also interviewed neighbors in the Northwest around such villages. I've interviewed people working in local police departments, and they actually say that far from decreasing property value and becoming a magnet for undesirable elements of society in these parts, actually sometimes it contributes to bonifying a neighborhood, because these villages often are built, are pretty, they become something interesting. It's something that almost, it becomes something that people eventually, you know, take pride in the neighborhood, because, oh, the neighborhood has taken action. Look at this village, it's very nice. And then people are super happy. There's this phenomenon always when people discover that someone that they feared before is actually quite nice, they like them even more, you know? And so you have this phenomenon often that we've observed, where when the village is obvious, you know, not like a house that you don't really, you know, spot, people are happy about it. We need to demonstrate this to basically
just dispel the myth
exactly
of what a homeless person is.
So the idea of building tiny homes as opposed to, you know, having housing or apartment buildings or regular sized home, is that what's the reasoning behind tiny homes? Is it primarily cost, or is it aesthetics? Is it that you can, you know, build one unit at a time cheaply?
There's really a lot of things, but it always comes down to cost. Hmm. Like I said, it's $6,500 per house with donations and with volunteer labor. There's no way you can't touch that to house someone in an insulated locked sleeping cabin. And these are transitional. Exactly what that means, we find that statistically, it takes about 6 months for somebody from the street to get sort of normalized, to feel like they're safe and there's trust in the people that are trying to help them, and so we're finding that if we can have a minimal charge to make the village operate, and that would be somewhere around $250 a month. People can afford that. We can take part of that money, set it aside, and then help them transition, hopefully, to a regular rental that would have all the basic needs, kitchen, and.
So, what are these tiny homes like in terms of aesthetics? Because, of course, a home is a personal thing. It's a very, very personal thing. Gerard, can you give us a sense of the aesthetics of these homes?
Well, I think a huge part also of the appeal is that they're cute. You know, they have to be cute. You don't want to put people in something that look like a dustbin, you know. You want to put them in something that they can take pride in. And so they are essentially, I mean, a lot of people out there have a strong interest of tiny houses. I think they speak to the inner child, you know, in all of us also. And so besides knowing that, oh, I can live for much cheaper, I can save money, this is also pretty. It's a big part. And so the houses, I think, that are going to be there are a little bit like, let me see, I don't know if there's yes, there's actually a quick view of one of the houses in the video that I sent you. So they are going to be like mini houses, you know, looking like a little cottage with a cute little roof, you know, nice little cottage. It's a bit.
So let's take a look at this video. Here are some excerpts from a video that Gerard did for the Chico Housing Action Team's efforts to fundraise for their Simplicity Village.
Hi, I'm Bob Trausch, a founding member of CHAT, Chico Housing Action Team. We are in business for the last 5 years. We're a 501c3, and we came together actually to try and end homelessness in our community. Since that point, we had the campfire that has added 19,000 people to our community. We started with Safe Space, which is a winter shelter. From there, we started a Housing Now program that has had well over 100 people in it at this point, with 33 homes throughout our community. We started a Hand Up program just recently, where we're taking families from the street that are in crisis and surrounding them with services. But our goal all along has been to build a village. We have such support in our community. We have it from the police department, the fire department, the city, the county. All of the organizations in this community are surrounding us with help and services.
Hi, my name is Scott Huber. I'm a council member on the Chico City Council. We have consistently supported CHAT in their Simplicity Village efforts.
There'll be 44 senior homeless people residing on this place. This is where the communal house will be. It's going to house the washers, dryers, showers, and food. We'll have phase one there, Phase two will be on this side of the property. What this will entail is the driveway is coming in through here for Simplicity Village. It's fenced completely. It will have a gate monitored 24/7 to make ensure that nobody comes in here except the people that are living on this complex. So what this project's going to entail in this beginning is to get sewer, water, power, curbs, any gutters, any other on-site and off-site to make this happen.
And that's a short video about the efforts of the Chico Housing Action Team to put together Simplicity Village and to raise funds for Simplicity Village. My guests are Bill Kerniski, board president of the Chico Housing Action Team, and Gerard Ungerman, a documentary filmmaker who's been following the work of CHAT. So, Bill, tell us a little bit about the fundraising efforts, how it's going, what you hope to be able to raise, and when. I'm assuming that basically all that's standing between Simplicity Village existing and not existing is a few thousand dollars, tens of thousands of dollars?
Tens of thousands. I'm a retired contractor, and I did remodels in San Francisco, so I kind of had a feeling of the homeless issue at the time, and I was amazed at the costs that were involved in something I've never been involved with. What it costs to bring in a fire hydrant, a step down transformer, all these things, a tremendous amount of money, to $25,000 here, a sewer line, water lines, electricity. So it's daunting, hundreds of thousands of dollars. So we started a GoFundMe with a hope of garnering about $100,000. And in 3 days, I think we hit $35,000. So we're really on the way, and I can't thank Gerard and Stacy enough for the work they did with Respectful Revolution when it came to the short videos that they put together for us. Mm-hmm. So it's we're looking for help, and we have to go beyond the community. This is larger than this fire was unprecedented.
And of course, the situation in California in general is untenable. I mean, the framework for what you're doing is the fact that it's incredibly expensive to live in California these days. Even those costs that you were saying in terms of what it takes to build new housing puts housing out of reach. You know, I personally have so many friends who have left the state, you know, to move to Oregon or other states where it's so much cheaper to live because it continues to be so expensive to live in California. And this is a state that has liberal lawmakers that have been pouring money at the problem. Here in Los Angeles, where I am based, we have an explosion of the homeless population over the exact year that there have been high expenditures on tackling the issue of homelessness. I'm wondering if the both of you or either of you can give us a sense, since you're working on this issue, of why the government is failing, what it's doing wrong, and what you would like to see actually happen. Because, of course, ultimately, your efforts, as important as they are a drop in a huge bucket, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, it's that whole that saying that you think globally, but you act locally. And I think there's something to be said for that, at least for us. And again, it's GoFundMe/chat/SimplicityVillage if you want to donate to our cause. I think it's a multitude of things. Nothing's as simple as it sounds. But real estate prices have skyrocketed, but people's salaries have basically stayed the same, and there's that dichotomy between the two, that people on the lower end just can't seem to keep up, and we're not building a truly affordable housing. We can go vertically. There are things we can do that can help. And I think you have to think out of the box. You have to think solutions. We're just a small, like you said, we're a drop in a bucket. But I think if all these drops are put together, we have an ocean.
I mean, go ahead, Gerard.
I think it's a model that is being created at this point, because in the 80s especially, there was a spike in the price of housing based on the fact that there was this concept that you could boost consumerism by helping homeowners refinance their, you know, their mortgages with added value on the property. So that helped the price of housing go, you know, through the roof. And so for a while it did help consumerism, because people, you know, homeowners had more money in their pocket to consume. But this was a very bad idea in the long term, because what happened is that it raised across the board the price of housing to a point where now, whether you're a homeowner and you maxed out on what you can get for your mortgage, or whether you're a renter, prices, you know, went through the roof, and now you have no money left pretty much to do anything else. Like, all the money you earn goes towards your housing, or anyway, an unhealthy percentage of it. And so now we are at a place where the most visible victims of this, of course, are people who are homeless, who've lost everything. In LA, you have, I saw the numbers once, it's crazy. We're talking about tens of thousands of people living in their cars, for instance, and hiding from their families sometimes and friends, that they don't have a home anymore. They retain a gym, they retain storage, they live in their cars, and they try to keep a good face, you know, because the price of housing is crazy. And so I think what Sympathy Village is trying to do, and what some other villages are doing through the Northwest, is helping first the people who are the most in need of emergency housing. But also it's showing an example. How can you create neighborhoods which are nice, with smaller units, cheaper units, so that eventually, whether you're homeless or just somebody earning a modest income, you don't have to be basically destitute at the end of the month because of your housing, if you have one. You know, so I think this is really what's happening here. It's a multifaceted effort to try to reinvent this fundamental side of society, which is housing, in a way as to not ruining us and leaving us money so we can live as economic agents. We can study, we can travel, we can consume. And I think this is our new frontier, personally. That's why I'm so excited about the whole tiny house movement, the whole alternative affordable housing movement.
I mean, presumably the government could also take on this task of creating tiny houses on the cheap for homeless folks. But it you know, tends to not take such direct approaches, if you will, to the issue of homelessness. So let me give out that website again. It's gofundme.com/chat-simplicity-village. We'll link to that from our website if you missed that. Bill and Gerard, good luck to you in the efforts that you're engaged in. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Sonali.
Thank you.
My guest has been Bill Kerniski, board president of the Chico Housing Action Team, or CHAT, and Gerard Ungerman, documentary filmmaker who's been following CHAT's efforts. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and now Instagram at RU with Sonali.